Our scripture reading for this morning will be taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1. Matthew, chapter 1, beginning with verse 18, and I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son. And he called his name Jesus. We have just completed our read-through of the entire Bible, and I was asked by several, what are you going to do after we get through with that? And several suggested, aren't you going to just start over? Which may be appropriate at some time. But I know that we have been an awful lot because of the necessity of reading the Old Testament along with the New when you read through the Bible, a lot in the Old Testament, haven't we? And so I thought maybe it would be good to go back and pick up on one of the Gospels and focus upon that for a while. And so this is my thought, and you can try to nix it if you want. I'm not sure it'll work. But what I plan on doing, there's 28 chapters in the book of Matthew, is take a chapter a week. And if you want to read along, I would encourage that. But next week I'll try and draw a lesson from chapter 2. This week I'm drawing one from chapter 1. And we'll spend some time in this long gospel of the Bible. In this first chapter of Matthew, the emphasis, I think, is important because it emphasizes the virgin birth. Now, before I tell you what I know about a poll that was taken of ministers of various religious groups, let me ask you, and I'm not expecting an answer, but you give yourself this test. Do you believe in the virgin birth? Do you believe in the actual physical resurrection of Jesus Christ's body? Do you believe that there is a Satan? And finally, do you believe in the inspiration of the Scriptures, that the Scriptures are the Word of God? Now, I hope that you respond like me to those questions with an affirmative on every one, and you think, how ridiculous a question is that for the preacher to be asking me? After all, I am a man or a woman of faith. I hope that's how you feel about it, but that's not how everyone feels about it. Several years back, and I have a copy of the article as well as the compilation of the percentages, several years back, ministers, pastors, evangelists, whatever leaders are called in various organizations were given a survey. 1,000 of them were sent out. More than 700, maybe I've got that wrong. No, 10,000 of them were sent out, and more than 7,400 responded, sent to clergymen, quote unquote, with those questions that I've just asked you. Do you believe in the resurrection? I'm going to call them group number one, number two, number three, number four. For some reason, the church does not appear on this list. But if you want to see this list and the article after my lesson, you can. But in response, group number one said no, 51% disagreed with the resurrection. Can you imagine that? Group number two, 35% disagreed with the resurrection. Group number three, 30% disagreed. Group number four, 33%. Number five, 13%. And the best, only 7% in the last group. Now, I'm not going to say group one, group two, group three again, because you're trying to attach to them anyway. But think about that for a minute. If in the ones that were the least likely to believe in the physical resurrection, if he was your minister, do you think that would affect his outlook on other things if he does not believe in the physical resurrection? To the second question, do you believe in the virgin birth? Those saying no, 60%, 49%, 44%, twice, 19%, and the lowest 5% said no. Do you believe that there is a Satan? Saying no, 62%, 47%, 37%, 33%, 14%, and no answer on the last one. And then, do you believe in the inspiration of the Scriptures, that it is the Word of God? Saying no, 82%, 81%, 89%, leaving that one blank, 57%. And then once again, left blank. Let me ask you again, do you believe in the resurrection? Do you believe in the virgin birth? Do you believe that there is a Satan? And do you believe in the inspiration of the Scriptures as being the Word of God? So as I read chapter 1 of Matthew, and I came across this particular part of Matthew's account, I thought this would be a good place to start in this kind of review, if you will, of the Gospels and specifically of Matthew, because this is, to me, a very foundation, and I hope to establish in our lesson this morning why it is a foundation premise of faith to accept the virgin birth. Now, we had a virgin defined, basically, in the reading. It said that Joseph did not know his wife until after she had delivered the baby, meaning they did not come together sexually. But we do know that Jesus had at least four brothers, they are named, and two sisters, not named, and so that Joseph and Mary did have other children. Now, if you can do your math, that means Jesus was a family of seven kids, being the oldest or the eldest. The Bible gives us those particulars. Now, why is that important? Mary did not stay a virgin. Joseph became her husband, and she conceived and had multiple children after the time that Christ was born. But for the interim, we have Joseph and Mary engaged to one another, and their engagements were quite different than our forms of engagements. We have people promise to one another, they give a ring, but it's not uncommon to hear that the ring is given back and the marriage is off. Under the Jewish system, that required a divorce. Though they were not coming together physically, once a man and a woman were betrothed to one another, it required a divorce to separate them. And if that divorce was on the grounds of infidelity, then the woman was, or the man, whoever was unfaithful, was stoned to death. Pretty serious business when you engaged and committed adultery. So what does Joseph do when he finds out his fiance is with child? He wants to divorce her, but to do it secretly so that he does not bring shame upon her, but it also spares her life. Now, to me, that says Joseph is a righteous man. He's not a prude. But there are things happening with Mary that he doesn't understand, that science says can't happen. No matter how much she protests, she's with child, and what does Joseph know? It's not mine. And so he wants to put her away. Why would you do that, Joseph? Because he wants a marriage based on purity. He wants a marriage dedicated to God. And he does not see how this fits that plan. But does Joseph see everything? No. And God enlightens him. Can you imagine having an angel come to you and saying, you're about to pull a real boner here, Joseph. You've got to stay with Mary because I've got plans for her. And by the way, you're a part of those plans too. The child she is pregnant with is from the Holy Spirit. And not only that, he is going to be the Savior of the world. And you're going to call him Jesus. Now, step back a minute, be the man that you are, and think about what you've just been told. You've been kind of put in your place, haven't you? The Lord, through an angel, has said to you, rethink this. The direction you're headed is not my direction, and I want you to accept responsibility for a child that's not yours. Now, that's not as if that's never happened to a household before, but this one is pretty unique, wouldn't you say? And he goes on to say, not only is this child going to be born by your fiance, Mary, but he is a fulfillment of prophecy, namely Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. And a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Do you think Joseph slept well that night? What did he do? It says, and he got up and he did just what the Lord told him to do. There's a little bit of a play on events there. The fact that he woke up says that he woke up to God's plan. And he adjusted his own. Has that ever happened to you? You ever had an epiphany? An enlightenment? Something that says to you, you know what? You're on the wrong path, or you're about to do something that you're going to regret, and instead, you do what the Lord wants you to do? Was your life not blessed? Was Mary any less lovely to Joseph for what he knew? No, I believe she became even more precious. And if you read Luke's account, you understand that Mary was chosen because she was a just and right and pure woman in the eyes of God. She was the very one chosen out of all the maidens of Israel to be the mother of God. Emmanuel is what we want to look at today. Jesus, the name Jesus, is what we want to look at this afternoon. What does Emmanuel mean? The virgin shall bear a son named Emmanuel, which means God with us. You can't separate the fact that it's the virgin bearing this child from the fulfillment, which is God with us. You take away the virgin birth and you don't have God's son. Do you see it? She is with child by the Holy Spirit, the angel tells Joseph. You take out the fact that she has conceived this child away from God, and what do you make Mary? She's not the virgin Mary. She was once, but she's not now. If God's not the father of this child, if the Holy Spirit has not planted this seed within Mary, she is no virgin. She is an adulteress. And Joseph has every right to separate from her. He was about to do that because he didn't know the facts. But now that he knows the facts, just the facts, ma'am. Now that he knows the facts, what does he know? God's at work here. You want to take the position of Joseph after learning the truth? There is no virgin birth. What have you just done to Mary's reputation? And what have you just said to Joseph since he went along? Mary's an adulteress and Joseph is a dupe if you don't believe in the virgin birth. Because it must be as God has declared it in order for his name to mean God with us. If it's just another human, totally human child that's being brought into this world, then God is not incarnate. That means God has not come in the flesh. That means the perfect Lamb of God never came to earth, lived a life free from sin, tempted in every point like as we, died on the cross on our behalf, was resurrected as the first fruits of the resurrection, and now reigns in heaven when we're waiting for Him to return. You remove the virgin birth, and you have undermined Christianity entirely. Now explain to me why it's significant that a majority of clergy, at least from one, number one, did not believe. And then the percentages seemed to just climb when it came finally to the inspiration of the Scriptures. What portion of it did not agree for the most part or didn't answer? 80 plus percent did not believe that what we have in our hands and are studying today came from God. Let me ask you, if faith is believing that which is not seen, if faith is not believing in that which you hope for, if faith is only that which you can lay your hands on, then your faith is not based in the gospel. It cannot be. If you feel that way about it, you've got some changing to do. You need to wake up and do as the Lord has commanded, as Joseph's example shows to us. Did you know that in the Old Testament that God put a supreme value upon those who were virgins? Levites were required to marry a virgin. That's not to say that there couldn't be a widow that would be sanctified in her relationship with her second husband. In fact, God had the Levirate laws for that. But Levites themselves were bidden by God to marry only virgins. What do we see in the New Testament? We remarked on it last week as we talked about the bride preparing herself for the groom from Revelation chapter 19. Jesus told parables about the 10 virgins, didn't he? About the 5 foolish and the 5 wise. What a virgin represents is one committed and pure, one focused and devoted. And so in this, when God chooses Mary to be the one that brings forth His Son, He necessarily fulfills the old law and implements the new by having her be with child as a virgin by the Holy Spirit. God's amazing, isn't He? And He had prophesied it how many years before? We quoted from it, Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. How many years before had God prophesied that this would be the case? And we always like it when the Bible interprets the Bible. Matthew says, this is that which God prophesied 700 years prior to the event. Because His name means God with us. The presence of God within the population of man to reveal the truth, to set the example of holiness, to die upon the cross for their sins, all is established initially out of the miracle of the virgin birth. And it wasn't the only miracle that happened at this time, was it? You read the other accounts of the gospel, and Mary goes and visits with her cousin Elizabeth. And Elizabeth is not having a child that is by being a virgin. She and her husband have been married for years. In fact, she is barren, but she has the forerunner of Christ, which the last book of the Old Testament ends with, Malachi chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. And in the last days, I will send you Elijah. Jesus says in Matthew 11, John the Baptist, the son of Elizabeth, is the fulfillment of that. He is the Elijah. And so there's another miracle taking place. We have the star in the sky for the Magi. Not to give away what's coming up, but necessarily we have many miracles. In fact, it is the breaking of the period of silence. As we read through the Bible, we said from Malachi to Matthew, there is 420 years where the people hearken to the old, read the prophets in anticipation of its fulfillment, but God Himself is being quiet and being silent. And then things open up with a bang You say it wasn't a bang? Ask the shepherds about it. You remember what they were doing? They were out there pasturing their flocks, and all of a sudden the sky is filled with a chorus of angels proclaiming that the Messiah has been born. What's God doing? What's he doing? He's saying, wake up. The time is now. Look for it. And there are signs, if you will, all over the place. And the virgin birth is the first of those that signify that God is ready to come down to man. Moses had prophesied he'll come from among you. Abraham had been told, of your seed will come one. And how God is saying, by this virgin birth, here he is. Take note. Do you think Herod believed? He wanted to kill him. He knew he was a threat. And so he attempted to do just that. But here we have the very foundation rock of our faith in God. Don't let Satan take it away from you. Read these words with me again so that you might plant them in your brain as necessary for faith. Verse 21, Matthew chapter 1. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. Turn with me to hymn number 203. 203. I appreciate the songs that Terry led this morning. He got me worried. I thought he was headed for this one. I want you to put yourself in the place of Mary and Joseph. What would it have been like to know that your oldest is the Son of God? We're just not told all the things, except for that one time when Jesus is 12 and he stays behind in Jerusalem and they can't find him in the caravan and they go running back to Jerusalem to discover where is he. He's in the temple discussing things with the elders. And they run up to him and they say, what are you doing? Didn't you know that we would be distraught, that we were looking for you? And Jesus calmly responds, did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? Other versions read, did you not know where to find me, that I would be in my Father's house? He had gone home. Think about that from a 12-year-old. Mary and Joseph, it often mentions Mary taking things to heart, making note of things that Jesus says during his ministry. But we don't have a whole lot of detail. And so this song, I think, is kind of appropriate. 942. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy had come to make you new? This child that you've delivered would soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to the blind man? That your baby boy would calm the storm with his hand? That your baby boy has walked where angels trod, and when you kissed your baby boy, you kissed the face of God. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb, and the sleeping child you're holding is the great I am? I get chills just thinking about what Mary and Joseph must have experienced. And God did not leave them in the dark, did he? God had told them from the outset, this child is my son. I have chosen you as a couple because I know you will walk in faith and righteousness. And they did that. Mary did know many of those things. Not exactly what Jesus would do, what Emmanuel would become, but she knew much. You just have to read her prophetic conversation with Elizabeth and the song that she sang as Elizabeth tells her, we are blessed among women for what we are about to bring into this world, in shorthand. And Mary begins to quote scripture like you wouldn't believe. Now, certainly she's probably inspired by the Holy Spirit at that moment. Mary, did you know? Oh, she knew. Now, Jesus' brothers, not so much. Not so much. They were taunting him even during the last days of his ministry to go up to Jerusalem and prove to the world who he was, knowing full well that he could stand arrested and condemned, because it says that his brothers did not believe. Do you? Does mankind today? Where do I stand on the virgin birth, on the resurrection, on the principalities and powers and a spiritual host of wickedness in high places, on inspiration of the scripture? Sometimes the children's stories hit home, don't they? That's not just a baby in the manger. Did you know that when you kissed your baby's face, you kiss the face of God? That's why she could stand at the foot of the cross, not disheveled and discouraged, but seeing once again how God was working in the life of, yes, her son. She loved him dearly. There is no doubt that she understood, like Hannah, you gave me this son to give back to you, Lord. And to you I have dedicated him for all time. Do you think she ever regretted her decision? Remember when the angel was talking to her and he said, you've been chosen. And she says, but I can't have a child. I've never known a man. He says, that's not a problem for God. But Mary, you are one that God has chosen to bring forth his son into the world. Do you think she ever second-guessed that? After saying that she basically was God's servant, do with me as you will, I don't think she ever regretted being a woman of faith. I don't think Joseph ever regretted raising the son of someone else, because, after all, it was the Son of God. I don't think that family had anything but blessings. Now, I'm not saying they didn't have heartaches and they weren't faced with trials, and they weren't ridiculed by others, but I don't think it ever measured up to those times when they were holding hands with one another and talking about their boy. What did Jesus do today, Joseph, in the carpentry shop? What did he say? Do you think they ever got with one of those elders from the temple and asked them what kinds of things they were discussing? If anyone did, Mary did. She wanted to know what her son was up to and what he was saying. But that simple statement, didn't you know where to find me? I had to be in my father's house, was a reminder at age 12. Mom, I have a purpose. I have a reason. Yes, I'm your boy, but I am my father's child too. Aren't you? Aren't you your father's child? Aren't I? Will we ever regret making that choice to be people of faith? When the final resurrection comes, I pity those who have not believed, because it will be a glorious day for those of us who are of the faith. When the trumpet sounds and he returns on a cloud. What, don't you know that in the same way that he has ascended, he will descend? Is said to Jesus' disciples in Acts chapter 1. He'll come back for his own, so let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. Praise God for his glorious plan of redemption, for his Son who died in my stead, as we stand and as we sing. Jesus is tenderly